The playoffs are near, and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Can you see it? Did you know?
Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice, Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
Yes, existence, take you to the sun.
First career NHL goal, Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have.
Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display is everything me.
They slayed the dragon.
Hideous existence, existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation presented by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use our promo code Convo, nope, Hockey Season. That's the Zephyr Epic promo code, Hockey Season, capital H, capital S, all one word. That'll get you $5 off your order. And Harm, you've been doing some double time here. You can tell us where Zephyr Epic ships from, because they ship all across Canada. What's an example of where they ship from?
Yeah, everywhere from Revelstoke to Regina. My close buddy does vet school out there, and he can promise you that Regina is not a beautiful city, but that the people there are great. So,
I speaking of Regina, Regina Pats, obviously the WHL team over there, home of Connor Bedard. Do you see the tweet that I put up a little earlier? I saw a Canucks 98 Bedard jersey as I'm leaving the game. How amazing would that be? I mean, like, I don't know how much you've been following the U18s. I haven't watched a ton of it. I've seen a lot of the highlights of watching Bedard play, and the kid's dynamic, like, to see what he's able to do. And obviously, we kind of know this about Bedard. Bedard's going to be at another level when he gets here, but what a pipe dream, eh? Like, Canucks would have to really fall apart next season, but to get an opportunity to land a kid like Bedard, who looks like he's already good enough to play in World Championships for Canada.
He's literally unbelievable, and We can dream, especially him being a North Vancouver native.
Yep.
Tyler Mott fan. Got to re-sign Mott in the offseason. Well, not re-sign, but up him again in the offseason to start the recruitment process.
It would be a lot of fun, that's for sure. And Bedard, yeah, it's going to be a blast to watch him. But we're not here to talk about him. Before we get to the game that we saw yesterday, quickly I want to give a shout-out to DoorDash because we are delivered by DoorDash.
Ding dong.
Thank you, Harm. You can use our promo code CONVODD. That one is the one that you want for DoorDash. Use that off of your first DoorDash delivery. It'll get you 25% off. That's CONVODD for free delivery and 25% off your first order. Harm, we just came off of watching the final home game of the season. A little bit of extended time at the end there. Did you think that it was absolute madness that after the Canucks win a 3-2 overtime game, they were just like throwing their gear into the crowd? Did you stick around long enough to see that, you know, sticks were being thrown? I saw elbow pads. Everybody's throwing their gloves. It was absolute madness at the end of that game watching the Canucks players basically just like take off all their gear and throw it into the crowd.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And not only that, but I think with about 5 to 10 minutes left in the third, they were parachuting free tickets and having all these giveaways. So, I mean, got to note that for future reference. If you're a Canucks fan, make sure to come out to the last home game of the season. You might get lucky there.
It was pretty wild to see like the parachutes and everything coming down. It was an awesome game. Like to see not only the Canucks come back from a 2-0 deficit, come back, win in overtime, couple goals for Brock Besser, just a great way to kind of send off this fan base who, you know, in a time where we've been able to get back to watching games, like it is kind of wild to think that, you know, earlier this season, we're at 50% capacity. There was times where there was no fans in the stands in the NHL. It is kind of wild to, this is our first year back after the whole pandemic and not being able to attend games. It doesn't really feel like it. Like it just feels like everything's been normal a lot when you're at these Canucks games, especially since things have gone back to 100% capacity. Like the fan base is there. It's loud. It's deserving of a well-run organization, and things are starting to feel like they're going in a positive direction. I think you could feel that from the vibe in the arena last night specifically. And the final home game of a season that ultimately is a little bit disappointing when you look at the whole thing.
For sure. And I think it was important that they came back too, because for the first 40 to 50 minutes, I'm not going to lie, it was a complete snooze fest.
Oh,
we were kind of looking around at each other and kind of going, well, the clock can't run out fast enough. The Canucks just didn't really have anything going. The Kings were just all over the Canucks in the first couple periods there in terms of shots and chances. And obviously they went up 2-0, and it kind of felt like, all right, maybe the Canucks are going to go out quietly here. But then, of course, through the last, again, 10 to 15 minutes, they started to pick life up again. And that's when you could tell the building was starting to roar. And it was pretty funny. I think after the 2-1 goal, there were already people trying to start the Bruce There It Is chants. Yeah. I'm like, that's a bit early, but I like the optimism and the foreshadowing. And there you go. They ended up picking up the W in the end. And I was joking about it earlier after Besser's first goal. I turned to Drance and I said, I swear, Besser scores a lot more with the black skate jersey.
Yeah.
And then he goes out and scores the OT winner again. I think that's science. I think that's going to make Wyatt very happy. I don't know if he's already made that point, but it was great, especially in the black skate. I mean, to have you now have a head coach that the fan base loves, the black skate, and a nice little win to cap it off. I think, again, kind of like you noted, a bit of a disappointing season overall, but sort of symbolic of kind of the optimism heading into the summer.
Yeah, I mean, specifically after the changes were made to the coaching staff and the management group, it has been, you could say, all positive for this organization since then. Specifically, if you're looking at it just like from the point of view of a fan, you've had exciting games at Rogers Arena. You've been able to see the black skate jersey again. You've been able to see a lot of wins. Ever since the changes have happened, you have to be happy as a fan seeing what this organization's doing. And just a good send-off to me. Like the final home game last night, I was in the stands. Like, you know, I was having a couple of drinks. It was good. It was a day off for me. I had a great time. Couple pretzels, donuts. I had a great day. I was, you know, I don't know what you guys were eating up in the press box, but I was doing well down in the lower bowl there. And it felt really like it was well done by the Vancouver Canucks to kind of have giveaways going like crazy the whole game. Everything about the game was just kind of, to me, the perfect send-off for a season that's had started in such a valley, but really has hit kind of a peak to me in the second half with this new group, this new regime, everything. Like I'm happy to go into the off season with that being the final game of the season for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, you look at some of those, positives, you mentioned a lot of optimism since first 25 games. I mean, right off the bat, you look at the biggest question mark kind of being resolved, and terms of Elias Pettersson finding his form again. And I think it really can't be overstated how important it is for him to kind of find that momentum and confidence, especially because I think of someone like William Nylander when he, and they're not perfectly similar situations, but Nylander came back in the, I think, right around the RFA signing deadline. He had missed games and he got off to just that really rough start a few years ago, and he looked off the entire year. And obviously he was able to bounce back eventually, but Pettersson has now been able to find his form midseason in a way Nylander wasn't. And I remember when Pettersson was struggling and I was thinking about that Nylander comp and the fact that Pettersson had missed camp and he was still sort of nursing that wrist injury. And I was hopeful that maybe Pettersson can follow that Nylander type trajectory of, okay, he has a down season, but he'll be able to bounce back fully next year. And Pettersson did me one better and bounced back right in the second half. So I think that's awesome. And it sort of, it just gives you optimism when you look at this club's three franchise pillars, right? They all provided some sense of optimism. I think obviously with Pettersson, you would have wanted the overall season to be better, but hey, he still set a career high in points. And now you're at least hopeful that we've seen enough signs in the second half that maybe he can take a big leap going into next season. Thatcher Demko solidified himself as an elite goaltender in the NHL, one of the top five, six puck stoppers. And Quinn Hughes was able to rebound defensively and also etch his name in stone as a franchise defenseman after what was a disappointing year for him defensively last year. So then you also had JT Miller. We'll see if he gets the 100 points, but he's having a career year. Bo Horvat hits 30-plus goals. So even though on the whole the team fell short, I think when you look at the top end of the roster, there were a lot of positives to draw, especially from the second half of the season. And like you said, a nice little way for them to send the fans off the other night against LA.
As we speak about Elias Pettersson a little bit, looking at it right now, he'll likely play the final game in Edmonton. I don't think they even have like an extra body for like emergency call up to get over there. So he'll finish with 80 games. Did he miss two games because of COVID, or was there, I can't remember if there was,
I think he missed one. Might have missed one game because of the wrist.
So even no matter the case,
I don't know that.
No matter the case, 80 games is what he's going to hit. Yeah. One of the games I think is because of COVID that he missed. Yeah. That's a huge step in the right direction as well, especially after what we've seen, not only last season kind of being the big example of it, but at times throughout Elias Pettersson's early career, there have been injuries that have kept him out. A huge step in the right direction to not only play looking like 80 games this year, but to do it on the back of a wrist injury where it looks like it did take him a while to heal that wrist and really be able to, I don't want to say make the wrist be 100%, because I don't think it maybe still isn't, but he was able to get to a point where he was confident enough in his shot. I know that it took a while and the coaching change to make it happen, but 20 even strength goals in his last 51 games of the season, that's 19th in the NHL. Is that something that we should expect for him when he hits the ground running next season, because there isn't going to be this holdout in training camp. There isn't going to be an injury from the season before that you have to worry about. The expectation for Pettersson after what he's done in these final 51 games, it has to be pretty high going into next season. Like to see him put up, you know, whether it be 68 points or whatever he finishes with after the game against Edmonton, I think the expectation has to be higher than 70 points next year for Elias Pettersson. That should be the expectation after what he's shown so far in these final games here.
Yeah, I, going into this season, thought he could be a point-per-game player. And, of course, he sort of fell short because of the first 25 games. And when you look at how the Canucks' season, you can point to the penalty kill, obviously, but the fact that the top end of the roster, and Pettersson in particular, wasn't able to produce early on, and the power play struggled, I think that's one of the biggest reasons the Canucks aren't in the playoff conversation. And so for Pettersson, it's been interesting too, because you look at his rookie year, I think, what did he score 10 goals in his first 10 games, something along those lines. Yeah. And even in the 19-20 season, I think in the month of October, he had 18 points in 12 games. So in both situations, he was kind of able to set the tone. And in both years, I think the Canucks had a pretty good start to the year. Now,
well, the first year was because he was playing with Nikolai Goldobin. That's the obvious answer here. The 10 goals in 10 games. When you're playing with Goldie, you know, you're going to get set up like that. Yeah, absolutely. You got Louis in his prime. Well, maybe not prime. Maybe those 10 games was Louis' prime as a Vancouver Canuck, actually. I always find it funny, and I think Quads brings this up. Like, it's funny that the first name that you hear in our intro is Goldobin. Like, the very first sound of the intro, let's get a little taste of it.
Can you see it? Did you notice?
Goldobin checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass.
This Goldobin checked, sent right over to Pettersson. This is from the early days, man. The beautiful days of Nikolai Goldobin playing on a line with Elias Pettersson, which I miss so dearly.
I know.
And still get a little taste of him in the KHL here and there, though.
Yeah, well, now I know who made the intro, just based off the fact that there's a Goldobin name drop in there. But yeah, I think to go back to the point, in both of those first two seasons, Pettersson had a good start and the team had a good start as a result. And I think when you look at obviously the last couple seasons, the 2021 bubble year, he looked completely out of sorts and the team again sort of crashed right away. Looked off at the start of this season, the team crashed and had a disastrous start right away. And now that's not all on Pettersson, of course. The team around him just hasn't been, I think, complete enough, and there have been other weaknesses and flaws on the roster, but he is just, they're really reliant on him. And going into next season, the thing I'm going to be interested to see is, okay, he'll have had that offseason and he'll have had a full training camp. Now for me, the biggest thing is, can he maintain his rhythm? Because for Pettersson, we know that he's not a dominant player physically, right? He doesn't have McDavid speed. He doesn't play with JT Miller's power. Pettersson's game is all about being a step ahead in terms of his reads, in terms of his hockey sense, in terms of the plays that he can make in high traffic, the vision, and all of that can sometimes require momentum, rhythm, and confidence. He's a player where it's you can tell when he's feeling it, and when you break that rhythm, that's why he can look completely out of sorts.
I think the key word you said there was confidence. That is the thing, because I think when you've done so well in your life and the spot that Pettersson's in, where he's succeeded at basically every level until he's gotten here. And knows that, you know, you don't win the Stanley Cup every year. It's pretty obvious for a player to understand that. And that's something that Pettersson understands, but it's, to him, he should still be one of the best players in his mind in the NHL. I think that's the way that he looks at it. And when his confidence isn't there, it's so clear to see. Like, how much was that talked about on this podcast, on radio, in writing, in the halfway point of the season? Everyone was talking about Pettersson's confidence, because that's the clear thing that you can see. So to me, how does he hit the floor running next year with confidence? It's an off season of being healthy. Like, and that's totally different from what we saw last year. Like, you should expect this high confidence that you talked about that we've seen in the second half of the year. We should expect that at the start. That's why I say, like, and you brought it up, you expect to be a point per game player. That should be the expectation next year again, because he's playing that well when he's confident. He should be confident coming into next year with no contract worries, no wrist worries, knowing that there's likely going to be some changes to the lineup, which, you know, always are exciting. Even if it's losing true talent in the end, it looks like this team is going to make some changes in the offseason, and it should come back with a group that surrounds players like Pettersson with the players that are going to make them succeed and let them be confident, because that's when you're going to get the best Pettersson.
Yeah, he'll be able to come in clear-headed. And it was interesting hearing when I was chatting with Garland about how much he felt that detrimentally impacted his play, where he was coming to this new team and Garland was just talking about how when there are a million different things running through your mind, it can just sometimes be hard to have that same level of focus. And I think with Pettersson, you obviously mentioned the contract situation, the wrist heading into this season, but even last year, he was in the first month of the season in the process of changing agents from Michael Deutsch to CAA Hockey. And I'm sure that wasn't an easy decision in terms of Michael Deutsch being an agent that Pettersson had been with for a really long time, was really close with. And even then, he sort of had that thought about his contract in the back of his mind, right? About trying to put himself in a position to obviously maximize your earnings like every player wants to. And so I can't imagine that was an easy decision. And so he was weighing that too. So I think that's a great advantage.
All that weight coming off your shoulders to start a season, you're bang on. Like, it's, you should have a way higher expectation for this kid. Not even just to think, like, even if you were to just, like, go back to the start of this season and think about what you could see from Pettersson and then just fast forward to next season and see what we're going to expect, you would just, to see the things that he has to worry about. He doesn't have to worry about anything going into the next year except make this team a playoff team.
Yeah. And like I said, the only thing to sort of keep an eye on, and it's not necessarily a concern, is because he's such a rhythm-based player, sometimes it can, like, when you're starting a season fresh,
yeah,
right? Someone like a Connor McDavid or even as a Canucks example, JT Miller, who relies on their physical tools, mm-hmm. that's right from day one going to be there. They're going to be able to skate explosively. They're going to be able to make their power moves. Sometimes with a rhythm-based player, it takes time. It can take a few games for them to get back up to speed in terms of their reads and feel sharp again mentally, because that's where his advantage is. So maybe that could be something that he'll have to sort of keep in mind, because outside of just the expectation, it wasn't there the last couple seasons. But you're bang on in terms of, I think we have to at this point expect Pettersson to take a big step next year because he has it in him. I think that's the biggest thing. We see it. If we didn't see the potential in Pettersson, if he was just destined to be kind of a 65-70 point center, we'd be like, fine, that's it.
But like, look what he did in the first 25 games. That's what, you know, that's what's wild. It's like, he was so bad in the first 25. He wasn't the player that we expect. And that's why you say we have such these high expectations for him.
And we saw him in the 1920 season where he was close to a point per game player. Fantastic in the playoffs, in addition to being such a complete two-way player. And that was only his sophomore season.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it's clearer now more than ever when you look at, for instance, JT Miller has been fantastic offensively, but there are still a lot of defensive concerns with his game. When you look at how well the Lauder line was rolling, all three guys were producing, of course, but when you look at their dominant two-way metrics, I think it's pretty clear that Pettersson was the real driver, right, from that perspective of two-way control. And we've seen it where Miller's numbers have kind of, from a two-way perspective, declined since not playing on Pettersson's wing. And of course, he's also had the challenge of playing at center, which is a lot more difficult than wing. But that's why it's just Pettersson has such a high ceiling. And I think it'll be good too, because I think going into the 1920 season, you could tell that there was a certain chip on his shoulder. I don't know if you remember training camp in Victoria, first day coming into camp, he was in the backskate just lapping guys.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was, you could tell, here's a guy that's hungry. And I think after his first season, he was a little bit pissed off at the fact that, hey, I finished the season slow, and he was determined to have a complete 82 game season where he just hits the ground running right away and maintains his peak play. And we saw him do that. And I think it didn't quite feel the same when he came into camp last year. And obviously he wasn't at camp this year. So with him having that confidence in the second half now, with him understanding that, hey, I want to prove my value to this organization, and he'll know internally that he has a lot more to show as well. And I'm sure he'll have learned a lot from overcoming that adversity. Anytime you overcome, and this isn't for hockey players, this is just for people in general, when you go through hard times, it makes you that much stronger, that much more resilient mentally. And it's just going to, I think, all of it is going to help him going into next season and beyond. And I'm sure he'll be motivated that, hey, and it'll be a good motivation too, where if he, let's say, finished on a quiet note, he'd have that motivation, but he'd also feel a lot of pressure that, man, like, I got to be, I've got this pressure and expectation of I've got to hit the ground running and improve my worth. Whereas now, at least, that sort of takes the heat off of him a little bit too, going into the start of the season, is, hey, I had such a dominant second run, and it gives him the confidence. Mm-hmm. So, I'm expecting big things for him next season, just because it's in him to do it.
And you brought up like the expectation from the organization for him. I also look at it as like, he's 23 years old, and depending on what your idea of a superstar is in the NHL, not everyone's sold that Elias Pettersson is a superstar. At 23 years old, you're coming in, you had a great finish to the season. I think for him, he wants to prove that he's a superstar in the NHL too. Like, he wants to be one of the top 10 players in the NHL. And next year, he has the capability to do that. If he reaches his potential for what the high-end expectation is for him next year, he can absolutely put his name into the group that is a superstar in the NHL. Because right now, he's a star. He's for sure a star. I think everyone around the NHL would say that about Elias Pettersson. But not everyone's saying superstar. I would bet that not a huge percentage of
people
are saying
Patrick Alvin isn't saying he's a superstar. And honestly, they're not wrong.
No, it's true. He probably isn't. I wouldn't say he's a superstar in the NHL.
He has that
I think
potential.
He's shown, absolutely. And he's shown stretches where he's looked like he could be a superstar in the NHL for sure, but he isn't one yet.
A superstar is someone who can consistently, more often than not, be the best player out of both teams.
Yeah.
And we saw that a lot out of Pettersson down the stretch. And for as much as Demko carried the team in the first half, it really felt like through the last 20, 30, 40 games that 30, 35 games especially, that Pettersson was sort of just putting the team on his back. And it was a treat to watch. And that's what we're talking about in terms of that's what a superstar looks like. And so, of course, he's going to be motivated to prove that, and he's got a contract coming up in a couple of years as well, right? So he's got
a little added motivation there on top of the money for sure. All right, let's before we get to break here, because we're going to run. I think we'll keep the first segment a little bit longer here, but then we'll have like a short segment to finish up. I want to talk about the Pod Colson media availability a little bit, but I find this pretty funny that we're going to do this without Quads here. I want to talk about Spencer Martin. So you know what time it is, Harm.
Oh yeah, he shouldn't have done that public knowledge. That's a big no-no. I don't know. You know, I can't really give the time and date, or else I feel like Nona's shoe will be flying across North America right and hit me in the head.
I think we spent half an hour talking about a backup goaltender.
All right, get out of here, Woodley. All right.
Favor's going to be very pissed. So, you know, I don't like to say bad things about goaltenders.
That's right. We're not going to spend half an hour.
What a plot twist. Faber pressing the goalie talk button.
I don't like talking about like the in-depth thing about goalies all this stuff, but like I do have an appreciation for when a goalie plays good.
Yeah.
Like I have to say
no,
that.
No, I was going to say, I don't think the segment's going to have a discussion about reverse pH post-integration. I don't think we're going to be name-dropping Curtis Sanford, but
no, we're not talking about how much, you know, the pH levels in the water that the goalies are drinking behind the net. We're not doing any of that, but we got to talk about Spencer Martin, man. He finishes the season for the Vancouver Canucks here with a quality start percentage of 1,000, or just a 1, I guess. I don't know how you measure that. 100% of his games, his 5 starts were quality starts for him this year. Out of goaltenders that have played a minimum of 5 games, nobody has a higher save percentage than Spencer Martin. And that's a little bit of a cherry pick stat, obviously, with Spencer Martin playing in 5 games this year, but 951 save percentage in those 5 starts for Spencer Martin. He's obviously earned the contract to come back and play with the Vancouver Canucks next year. Seems like he is kind of the lock. Like, I think a little bit when the contract was signed, there was still thoughts in my head of like, might be Mikey still. Like, if Mikey has a really good showing at camp, but now there's no chance. Like, from what you've seen him do in the NHL this year, you look at these games, 5 starts he's played against the Florida Panthers, the Edmonton Oilers, the Winnipeg Jets, the Seattle Kraken, and then the LA Kings in their final home game. And just all in all, excellent performance. In each of those games, you're looking at a 971 save percentage, a 940, another 971, 938, and then 943. Spencer Martin has absolutely earned his spot to be a backup. If he has a 5-game stretch like he's had this season at any point next year, he's worth it as a backup.
100%. And it's interesting because, for starters, what stands out is how calm he is in the crease, how well he tracks cross seam movement. I think that's always the biggest challenge for goaltenders.
Huge example of that in overtime, two cross crease movements that he just made, a great blocker save and then a great glove save right after, and then continued to set up a 3-on-2 the other way with a quick play of the puck as well.
Yeah, that OT sequence was crazy.
Oh man.
And to see the building roar when he made those saves was pretty special too. And they had his face on the Jumbotron right after he'd made the stop. So that was pretty cool. And not only against LA, but even against Seattle, looking at those 2 5-on-3 power plays. And I know Seattle scored with like 3 or 4 seconds left, yeah. But the saves that he made on Jared McCann, a lot of the, again, crossing, that's what has impressed me the most, is those shots are so difficult when you're not able to get set. And that's what Spencer Martin has gotten a taste of, is what it looks like to play goalie behind a Canucks team that isn't the best at preventing those cross-seam plays. It's not as if Martin's come in and the Canucks have been somehow able to put up 5 really strong defensive performances. Martin's got a full taste of Canucks hockey and what it looks like in front of him.
And you're not saying that in a nice way, I don't think, Harm.
Yeah, no, and that's a good thing. The fact that Martin hasn't bent under any of that pressure. And
50 shots against the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah. You know,
that's Canucks hockey, baby.
The Florida game, too, where the Canucks were shorthanded and were missing some important guys. So he's been really impressive. And it's important, too, that he needs to be able to obviously not maintain this, but just be competent and be trustworthy, because now we've obviously seen Demko go down with injury. And I think there is a case or an argument to be made that he was overworked to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Where he's third for games played in the NHL with 64, probably would have pushed to 65 had he been healthy. And we know he's had hip surgery history back in college days. So he's someone who, he's your franchise pillar, right? You want to be able to manage the workload. And you look at UC Saros, right, with Nashville, three more games played than Demko, leads league there, 67 games. And now he's out 4 to 6 weeks. The Preds aren't going to have him for the playoffs. They're done. And it happened right at the end. And again, and just another sign of sort of a fatigue type injury. We know even with, for instance, Jacob Markstrom, how he would have those stretches in Vancouver where he'd be able to play a lot of games, but then he'd get hurt if you remember in the 1920 season there. And even last year with Markstrom's first year in Calgary, they rode him really hard and he wasn't himself. And so they rode him hard again this season. But the point is, it can be a bit of a risk playing goaltenders 60 to 65 games a year. And I think if Martin needs to basically just be able to show that, hey, I'm trustworthy. And I'm going to be interested to see if the Canucks behind Martin try and, like, are they going to be comfortable with DiPietro as their 3? I'm not sure. To be totally honest with you, I'm not sure.
I think at a certain point, you have to make DiPietro your 3. And I think next year is, like, at his age and what he's been able, that's the thing. Like, I want to say at his age and what he's been able to do, but because of that missed season, I can't say what he's been able to do.
The thing, too, is because of Seelovs, you've got another young guy. So the point is, outside of Demko or Martin, you don't have any veteran goaltenders. You don't have another Spencer Martin.
No, true.
So I'm just kind of curious from that perspective. If they, even if it's, let's say, a veteran number 4, I'm going to be interested to see how they look at the depth and if they have a contingency plan, because Martin's given us every reason to believe in him as backup.
For sure.
He's going to get that shot. But for whatever reason, let's say it doesn't work out because goaltenders are voodoo.
Yeah.
what's the plan B? Because plan B can't be, let's play Thatcher Demko 70 games.
I think just looking at Mikey DiPietro turning 23 next year, it's not as much as a worry to me. Like,
maybe.
And he's a guy who is going to obviously work on his craft a lot this offseason. He still just needs to see shots. Like, that's what Mikey still needs to see. And he might not even get a lot of the run in these AHL playoffs because Spencer Martin's going to be back down with the Abbotsford Canucks. And he's going to be getting a lot of starts, I assume. But when you get into next year, like, you want what the expectation was for this season has to happen next year for Mikey. And I think that, like, after that, you can address it. Like, you can go get yourself a number three, but let Mikey be the guy who gets a run of games. Like a very easy job for a guy to make some AHL money and maybe play as like a 34 to 37 year old veteran goalie. And for people that think like, oh, what about Seelovs? I want to see the DiPietro Seelovs thing. Seelovs can play in the ECHL. He's still so young that it's not a huge deal for him.
He needs game action too.
And that's the thing. Can he be a big time starter in the ECHL? That might be the best bet for Seelovs. If he's splitting games with DiPietro in the AHL, I like that too. I think that's a good option. But I think next year needs to be the year where you have to test DiPietro. Like you gave him a chance this year and he's looked really good in the second half of the season. Like he's looked great since January. Actually played like better hockey and a better goaltender than Spencer Martin has in the AHL in the second half of the season, which is really impressive because Spencer Martin's been excellent. So I don't worry so much because DiPietro is not 20 anymore. He's 23 next year. So like you have to have some sort of expectation of him not being a washed or a player that you're super worried about to play NHL games. But we'll have to see what happens in the end. Cause you're right. Maybe a veteran presence makes sense. But honestly, if Demko goes down at any point for like a 6-week stretch, it doesn't matter. Like what happens, the Canucks ain't making the playoffs without Thatcher Demko, unless Spencer Martin can somehow just be like this guy every single game, which is like, I want to say highly unlikely, but every chance he's gotten is in a Canucks jersey, he's looked great. So I don't know what will happen with Spencer Martin there, but we spend enough time here on the goaltenders. I want to quickly throw to a break here. On the other side, we got a poll question about JT Miller. We'll get into that a little bit, as well as break down some of our favorite things that we took away from the Vasily Podkolzin media availability, where he spoke in English without an interpreter, without a translator, whatever you want to call it. But he did have Archer Seelovs, who we just talked about, beside him to help him with a couple of those Drance questions, with Drance and his fancy English words that Podkolzin didn't understand. We'll get into a few of those things, starting with the poll question on the other side. But quickly, let's just hear from an ad from our sponsor. And before we go any further into the episode, want to give a shout out to Parallel 49 Brewing. You guys can find Parallel 49 beer all across BC and Alberta. And right now we want to give a quick shout out to the Unparalleled Pack featuring four of the P49 favorites, the Trash Panda, the Filthy Dirty, the Jerkface 9000, and the Hillbilly Ninja. My favorite of the four there, the Jerkface 9000, the pink can. Something good about those cans there, Parallel 49. So go out and try them. You can find them in most liquor stores across BC and Alberta. And a big thank you to the folks at Parallel 49. I have to update that ad, actually. They just swapped out the Hillbilly Ninja for the Space Kitty, which is one you can find out at the Nat Bailey Stadium for some Seas games. The Space Kitty's taken over. The summer beer of Parallel 49, I've been told. I spoke to the higher-ups at Parallel earlier in the week, and they said Space Kitty. Beer of the summer. So we'll get you some Space Kitties, Harm.
I'm actually not drinking this year.
Oh yeah, that's right. You're all year off. Well, they got root beer as well. They got like
I'll try that.
They got some soda pops and stuff. All right, no, it's a ginger beer, and it had a lot of ginger in it. I had it at the patio. We'll get out to the patio. By the way, I got it. That's the other thing they told me. Patio is open. Get over to Parallel Patio. Yeah. The food is unreal. That's a good pregame spot before you go to a Vancouver Canadiens game. So go check that out, Parallel 49. You can find them on all of their social medias as well. Parallel 49 Beer. That's Parallel, and the numbers 49 and beer. No beer for Harm this year, though, you said.
Yeah.
Just a decision you made. You made it this far. Did you kind of? When did you decide the whole year? Because I knew you were going, I think earlier in the year you mentioned like a 90-day thing.
Yeah.
And now you're just taking the whole year.
Well, I broke it, I think, a couple times in February, but then, I don't know, it's weird where even if I only have two or three drinks the next day, I just can't focus and be productive. Like, the next day is just a write-off productivity-wise, and I just hate, and it's not even a hangover. Like, it's just, I'm not mentally as sharp as I usually am, I get distracted easily, and I'm not as focused, and it just annoyed me. So I was like, screw this. I'm taking a year off.
Fair enough. Yeah. I would say the same, but I haven't. I had a few mics last night at the game anyways myself, and I had Sunsetter. Good little another beer as well. But good for you. You haven't found it struggle. You're not a guy who like needs to.
Yeah, no, it hasn't
let
been,
loose on a Friday night.
Yeah, I mean that was never really I was never really I think Drax joked about it. He's like, actually, your drinking phase was the break.
Yeah.
As if to say my default stage is just not drinking. And so I've never really been much of a big drinker in the first place. So,
all right. Well, maybe pork rinds will be your go-to on the other side.
Maybe.
Let's get to our poll question here. Brought to you by the great folks at Atlas Goods. Follow them on Twitter at @AtlasGDSINC or go to their website, atlasgds.com. Use our promo code there, CC15, to get 15% off your first order of pop rinds, the best fresh pork rinds on the market. You haven't tried them yet, right?
No.
Okay. Soon. I'm getting a new air fryer from Costco for the place here. It's got like a grill on the inside. It's like a 7-in-1 thing. It's got a grill, so I'm really curious to see how that works out with the air fryer.
I think that might be the exact same one I have at home.
Yeah? Okay, yeah. Good. Then you can show me how to use it because I can't have like a little barbecue on the deck here.
Oh,
part of the insurance or something, right, but I got this little air fryer, which has probably been in the rules a little bit. We'll see. Don't tell Aquilini. Let's get to our poll question. How many points will JT Miller finish the season with? Are we going with 98, 99, 100 plus? Or I'm angry. And right now, JT Miller's sitting at 98 points. We're recording this Friday morning before the Canucks are in Edmonton to take on the Oilers, which is going to be like a really weird game to watch. People are listening to this on Saturday morning anyways. Quads is at this game with the Oily boys over there. Tough look for him. Jeez Louise. He bought a Mariners hat in Edmonton as well, which is strange. Anyways, like I'm just really curious to see what kind of effort level we see from the Vancouver Canucks and which players we see iced for the Edmonton Oilers ahead of this final game of the year as everything's already locked down. But like I said, JT Miller at 98 points right now. Does he get to 99? Does he push 100? Harm, where are you at with JT Miller in finishing this season?
I think he'll do 100. It's not an official prediction. It's more kind of me manifesting and just hoping after the year JT's kind of had that he deserves 100 points. Has he missed any games?
A couple games.
Yeah, so and he would have hit 100 if he hadn't missed those, fortunately, probably for COVID, if anything. And it might be manifestation, but hopefully the team can go up. And even if he's at let's say, 99, they're up, let's say, 3-2, empty net, Oilers pull the goalie. Just keep feeding JT, baby. Oh,
yeah, like I think that's... To me, it's like, what are they playing for tomorrow in the final game of the season, which people have already seen at this point because the podcast will be out. To me, it's like you're only playing for the 100 points. Like, that's what else are you playing for? You need to play for the 100 points of JT Miller. And like, it's weird because the game's going to happen tonight. People are going to hear this tomorrow. I hope we see C-Loves tonight, too. Like, I think we will, right?
Well, yeah, if McDavid not, and Dry
not for any other reason aside from like it should be fun like to see C-Loves.
Yeah, if they rest McDavid Drysdale, sure. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Here's the other thing though. Rylan Toth got some action the other day with the Abbotsford Canucks. Mikey DiPietro's in Winnipeg, Manitoba, but they haven't made a call up. I think it's going to be C-Loves. It doesn't really matter. People have already heard this at this point. But JT Miller, 100 points you're going to say he's getting. I think he's going to get to 99. I think it's
the logical in the back of my head, the logical part in me agrees because it's also the most Canucks thing ever for a player to end at 99. I'm just trying to manifest it into existence. We'll see if it works or not.
By now people already know the answer to that, which is kind of funny. All right, let's move on from the poll question quickly before we wrap up here. Want to touch on the Pod Coles in media availability, where he spoke to the media for 13 minutes, just really showed like how much his English has improved. And he's a guy, we obviously know how hard he works. We know the type of person that he is. Even if he doesn't speak to us every night, you just hear stories about Pod Coles and you hear the way that the other players talk about him. You see him on the ice before and after working with kids in the community, like all the stuff that I saw him do in Russia with helping people, you know, get during the pandemic, how deep we were in the pandemic early stages, like him getting food delivered and being part of that to volunteer with many different things and just showcasing what basically like an ideal professional athlete should be like in the community. Like that's the thing that I've seen from him in his time with Russia, his time as a leader with the junior teams, or even just playing with Scott. Like it just feels like everything he does is like, this is what you would like your kids to be cheering for in a professional athlete is the way that Pod Colson acts. And he had a lot of fun with the media. He made some jokes. He talked about Bruce, there it is, being his favorite English word, you would say, is how he answered the question. Actually, let's play that clip real quick, and then we'll kind of continue on with the Pod Colson thing.
You have a favorite English word?
A favorite English word?
That you can say on TV?
Bruce, there, yes.
So, I mean, you can hear it there. Like, Pod Colson was working the room that day with the media. And it was great to see because we didn't hear from him all season long. And we heard from him in training camp with an interpreter. And that was it. That's all we've heard from Vasily Pod Colson. So to hear him come out like this, this was, I almost want to say, shocking. And he apparently was the one that wanted to address the media. So overall, like, super cool to just see Pod Colson be able to talk. And if I'm being a little selfish here, super excited, because if he's out in Abbotsford, I can request Pod Colson now, knowing how good his English is, and be able to get potentially sort of one-on-one situation, depending on if any other media show up in Abbotsford, which I'm assuming some will. Some will make the drive. Quads definitely won't.
I will.
I know you'll make the drive. Yeah. Well, I'll pick you up on the way. We'll carpool out there. And then we can get Pod Colson together. Yeah. we'll do that. But that, like, it like I said, it did kind of shock me to see how well his English has gotten. And that comes from something that he mentioned, was like he practiced it all the time, and he worked with someone to teach him English back when he was in Russia. But getting into it and having conversations and doing things on the ice, like, that really helped him kind of accelerate him learning the language here. And he said he felt a lot better as the new year kind of changed over, how much better he's gotten at speaking with people.
Yeah. And I like the fact that, of course, he didn't have to do it, right?
Yeah.
He sort of took the initiative out on his own of, hey, I want to talk to the media and practice my English. And that just kind of shows, I think, the level of ambition that he has of constantly wanting to get better. And I know when he initially arrived in North America for this season, he impressed the organization in a lot of different ways with how he was handling the transition off the ice, right? Because think about how much was thrown on his plate. The NHL transition alone is massive, right? You're this rookie trying to get used to your new teammates, new system, new coaching, smaller ice surface, which means different reads, and it kind of changes how you make plays. And of course, the big jump in competition level, but then everything else as well of, imagine at 20, parachuting yourself into, let's say, Russia.
Yeah.
And you're trying to learn a new language. You're trying to learn a new culture.
Yeah, I mean, incredibly hard and really impressive to see him do that and kind of showcase it here at the end of the season with this media availability.
Yeah, I mean, just the city itself, there's a lot going on, and you don't know where anything is. You don't know grocery store, doctor's office. You probably don't even know what certain products are called, certain foods that you might have back in Russia that you don't even know if they're available here. And presumably, I don't know how good his cooking skills are. He's got a new wife that he's trying to take care of. And imagine even trying to acclimate his wife into, how does she make friends and how does she feel comfortable? Because, for instance, with someone like Nikita Triamkin, when he came over, that was a big hurdle too, was his wife really found it difficult to transition to Vancouver all on her own. So Pod Colson's kind of had to have all of those factors in the back of his mind. And then imagine now too, on the ice, all the turmoil surrounding the team of, you've made your first impression on Travis Green. Oop, now there's a new coach, and now there's new management, and the sort of rock bottom through the first 25 games. And now this amazing run, and then falling just short of the playoffs. There's been so much on the ice. There's been so much off the ice. And to see
impressive, like, you have to just say impressive.
Yeah, the grace with which he's kind of handled it all and finding his stride on the ice and really taking the next step through the last 20 games here or so, and showing that he can play in a more prominent role and earning the trust of Boudreaux in higher leverage minutes. Kudos to Pod Colson for what I think is a successful rookie season, both on and off the ice.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up his wife there. He mentioned that, you know, it was kind of tough for her at first, but he said now she's made a lot of friends. She's really happy here, was exactly what he said about it. And same thing, like, you know, from speaking, he brought up his meeting with Alex Ovechkin before the game against the Capitals. And he said that, you know, Ovechkin told him, like, Bruce is not only going to make you a better player, but listen to the things he says because he'll make you a better person. And that's something that I've heard Pod Colson mention multiple times in that 13 minutes was, yeah, he talked about being a better player on the ice. But it's like, I bring it up to the thing again. There's a reason why I really like this kid is because he is a great role model for people out there, for kids to watch this also kid who's 20 years old. This is the type of person you want to be. He talks about becoming a good person, being a better person. And that was something that he brought up multiple times, like I said in the interview, that just like, you can't help but cheer for the kid. He goes out there. He tries so hard every game. He does everything the right way. Listens to the coach. Is great off the ice in the community. Fans are going to absolutely love Vasily Podkolzin for years to come. And to know that he's already showed this well, two more years on an ELC contract, it's going to be excellent to see what this guy is able to do in the Canucks jersey, because I think he's going to be here for a long time. He is the type of player that, yeah, he's not the superstar number one guy. He doesn't have to be that. He's going to be a player who helps organizations and hope that he can stay here in Vancouver for a while.
Yeah, and that's why his teammates love him. To hear Bo Horvat and JT Miller a few weeks ago, the praise that they had for him, that was genuine, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can tell the difference between when a player is asked about a teammate, and they're always going to say good things about them, but you could tell the difference when Podkolzin came up, that it was all genuine and they were excited to talk about him. And his teammates love him and the work ethic is there, and he's just so easy to root for.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll be able to root for him in Abbotsford, hopefully hosting games. I want to quickly wrap it up. Abbotsford lost on Thursday by a score of 7-1. For them to host a playoff game, like in this 3-game series, they still haven't locked that down, even though they won 9 games in a row. They need to either get 1 point in the final game of their season, or Bakersfield just needs to outright lose or lose in overtime. So Bakersfield just can't win. And then the Abbotsford Canucks will be hosting those games starting next Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. But it's not set that they're actually hosting it. I know they're selling a lot of tickets, and people are DMing me a lot about tickets for it. Still a little bit of work to be done. By the end of the weekend, we'll know for sure if they're hosting or not. But it should be fun, and should be good to see.
It's important for the organization, too, because it's not going to be a huge revenue driver, but the team spent a lot on bringing in a quality roster for Abbotsford. It'd be nice if they could get some home games, maybe go through a couple rounds in the playoffs, maybe further, who knows, and kind of help ownership out there with their initial investment.
A little bit, but it's still, I don't know how they're doing it. $29 tickets I seen the other day posted up there for Abbotsford playoff games. So get out there and watch that. Harm's going to make a trip. Probably a Friday night or something anyways, but we'll see what happens out there. I'll be out there for sure. I'll be on the broadcast all 3 of the home games if they are hosting, which will be exciting. Myself and Brandon Assel will be on the call together. Had a lot of fun doing some play-by-play with him earlier in the year. So we'll wrap it up right there. Quads will be back on Tuesday. He's finally coming back from the beautiful, beautiful city of Edmonton, where he's just taking pictures of the water, the beaches, everything that he's getting a chance to see. Yeah, everything. I mean, yeah, he's really taking it in. He went to West Edmonton Mall, so he
beautiful weather.
He's done it all. Yeah, I think it's heating up in Edmonton now. When Quads and I went there the first time, it was -30 something. So hopefully he's dealing with it a little bit better. So he'll be back. We're gonna have a show on Tuesday. We'll wrap up the season ending media availabilities that we'll hear from the Vancouver Canucks by that point, and it'll be a good show on Tuesday to kind of put a bow on the whole season before we start cranking up some draft talk. We're going to talk a lot of potential trades, a lot of stuff in the offseason. It's going to be silly season pretty soon here, Harm. And Harm, I think you've earned it the last couple of days. You're filling in for Quads double time. You know what's coming, buddy.
Here comes the money.
The money is coming, Harm.
Here comes the money.
So we'll wrap it up on that. Harm, any closing thoughts here? What are you going to do with the money?
That's a good question. Probably invest it. That's the biggest thing. I mean, I don't, maybe shoes. That's the only thing I like buy a lot of are shoes.
Okay. So. Fair enough. Well, I hope you get a nice pair of shoes. You can pick up some after filling in for Quads this week for sure. So he'll be back on Tuesday, and we'll see you down the road in the off season. Well, but thanks, Harm. Thanks for stepping up this week and filling in for Quads, man.
Of course.
That's all you got, eh?
Yeah.
All right. We'll wrap it up there. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The playoffs are near and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca.